Hi, and welcome to Housewives of True Crime.
Welcome.
Welcome. I am Tabitha. Give me Dateline, white wine, and I'll pick up your kids in the carpool line.
The next day, right?
Yeah, the next day.
Okay. And I am Gretchen. I like white wine, true crime, and in bed by 9 because I have a lot of stuff to do in the morning.
We are Housewives of True Crime.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. Welcome.
Welcome.
Housewives of True Crime.
How are
Christmas
you?
Edition.
Isn't this Tab the week before Christmas? To me about her face. She thinks her face is falling.
You guys, I mean, if you're watching on YouTube, it looks better than it does in person because I have some good lighting.
Dude, I just cut my face.
Shaving. Like with the Tinkle razor?
Yeah.
I did that the other day, like so bad. It was bleeding. And I was like, I'm going to look like a man.
Like, yeah, I look like I got shaved. Yeah, I did. And I did it with a little cotton ball. And I mean, it looks crazy.
I know. Isn't that funny?
And isn't it? And every time you get out those razors, it is so scary. You have no idea how much hair you have on your face.
Oh my gosh, you guys, if you don't Tinkle razor your face, you probably don't know that you have a really hairy face. And people see it in the sunlight. They don't tell you. They don't tell you. And then you go in there and you're like, oh, we gave that as like a favorite things. And somebody was like, wait, what is this? I need to shave my face. Like, yes.
You do.
It also actually is supposed to help your skin, like exfoliates all the dead skin off and whatever. So it is something to put in your New Year's resolution, and it's, you know, cheap.
Well, listen, I'm trying to get it together because I'm making an appearance at the Nutcracker. I'm going to crack some nuts with those children of mine. I'm going to clean them up, shine them up.
Put a nice outfit. Girls.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Put them in a nice outfit. Do their hair. Yeah. So I gotta. It takes me multi days of preparation. You know, shave the legs, shave the face, all of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I mean, I can't believe my kids even want to go to this shit. It is so boring, right?
The ballet.
I mean, and the Nutcracker is probably the most entertaining of the ballets, but like, I'm not really that into it.
If you have a kid in it, then you're into it for sure. But
oh yeah,
when you don't have a kid in it, it's kind of like, I don't know. Some people really dig it. So if you are one that totally digs it, like, awesome. It's amazing. Great. Yeah. And it's a tradition for some, right? So it's like, that's what they do every holiday season with their grandma and their mom, and the generations all come and whatever, which is really cute. I love doing that kind of stuff. Like, you know, holiday traditions are nice.
Yeah. I mean, I do like the holiday traditions of the things that you always do. Like this year we missed the boat parade and stuff though. I don't like that. If you keep adding these holiday traditions, then it is so many things.
Yeah. That's what I have tomorrow.
Becomes so stressful.
I have a cookie exchange, which if anybody listened to Patreon, they would know that Gretchen would be like so beside herself if she knew that I was going to either buy the cookies out of the box or make cookies out of the box. But I seriously have like no time. I don't know what I'm going to do. And
okay,
I don't think
do
I can
your
really.
Cookie exchange. Yeah,
I know.
Okay.
I'm well, not going to
do
a box
cookie exchange friends dirty. Like at least go to like Crumble or someplace that has like.
That's
awesome cookies.
That shit's that's a lot of money. And you got to bring like enough for everybody. So no, I'm going to make them. I just am going to have to like find some time.
Drink a Red Bull.
Midnight and 3. I know.
That's right.
Seriously.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to do that.
It's the season.
I know.
I went to the gym this morning.
Well,
at the 6 a.m.
You did? I'm so proud of you.
I know.
Maybe you're going to actually inspire me to do it also, because I have really fallen off the wagon.
Yeah, I did fall off the wagon. I got a sinus infection, you guys, and it like really put me back in a funk, you know, when you don't feel like doing anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, on last Patreon or bonus episode, if you all have not joined yet, now is the time. Seriously, give yourself a treat. Go to patreon.com/housewivesoftruecrime or just click on the Clink Clink Club on Apple or on Spotify. You could find the Housewives of True Crime group. It's there, all of it. It's easy peasy, lemon squeezy, and you'll enjoy it. But anyways, I told y'all how I was making a Christmas tree out of pizza balls. Remember?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I did it. Turned out really cute.
Did it work?
It turned out so damn cute. Okay. Had the little star on top and the balls made a tree. And then at the bottom, you put a little tree trunk with only two balls. Mm-hmm. Well, everybody at the party thought those two balls at the bottom looked
more
like something else and not a tree trunk. And then I was like, this is why I love y'all, because you thought that and then laughed about it.
Oh, yeah. And if you like laughing about balls, definitely join Patreon. Somebody, in fact, if you don't, I don't recommend.
Oh, my God. On somebody on Spotify, you can, if you listen on Spotify, please answer our questions, because it's real fun to read them, and we read all of them. And so please give us some, and I'll publish them. So somebody, which I did not publish, so sorry. I did not like this one, but they said, these girls sound like they're 12 years old.
Well, that's true. I think you should publish it.
I was like, wait, you really haven't listened to us long enough that we say we sound like we're 12 years old.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's okay.
Yeah,
we're down with it. Own it. Do you like this hat that I'm wearing today?
Yes,
did you get your very own in the mail?
I did not. No, I didn't.
I didn't send you a hat? Oh, my God. What a loser I am.
No.
That's your next Christmas present.
I have been representing the Housewives and Clink Clink gear, and I've been getting compliments in the hood.
Yeah. So if you haven't got your merch yet, I'm taking this one on vacation, and it's bright pink and it says Clink Clink. It's really cute. And I'm wearing it with my Clink Clink sweatshirt. That's also pink. Pink sparkly. I'm going to show it on the YouTube. So if you haven't checked us out on YouTube, we're there too. Anyways, I know you have a crime to cover today.
I do.
Enough about us.
Let's do it. Today's story is taking us across state lines, but we are going to start in sweet home Alabama.
Alabama.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Chinchula, Alabama. It's a rural area outside of Mobile, Alabama. Population about 195.
Okay, not too small.
No, 195 people, not 1,000. Okay. No. It's real rural.
Yeah. Yes, okay. I was thinking, you said rural, but then I was thinking 195,000. I was like, that's not really rural.
Nope.
Okay, nope. 195.
Nope. Yeah.
Everybody knows everybody, and everybody's related to everybody.
Knowing everybody. Right. It's the home of the Bentleys, a real nice family. Mark Bentley owns a construction business and is a respected elder at church. Mm-hmm. Mark met John Chapman one day when he approached him because he was looking for work. Mark didn't have any, but John said he would just work for free. And Mark was impressed, and so he ended up taking him home with him. When Mark's wife, Kim, met him, she thought he was so sweet. He complimented her cooking.
That'll do it.
I think
that's all it
takes. That'll do it for me. Yeah. So he warmed her heart talking about how much he missed his mama and his brother in Oklahoma. And John said he had hit the road and landed in Alabama because he was just looking for a fresh start. John was a real charmer. Even the Bentley's teenage daughter nicknamed him Ken, like Ken and Barbie, you know, they all just took him in, got along. This nice family felt compelled to help charming John out. So they gave him a place to stay and a job to get him on his feet. You know, isn't that the nicest?
It is the nicest, but that is like some real red flags to me.
Well, you know? I mean, wouldn't it be nice if John was grateful and he got it together and became a valued member of the Chinchula community?
Well, yes. Did that happen?
No, that didn't fucking happen.
Yes, and it would have been amazing, but
it would have been.
Imagine that we're talking about.
I'm just saying.
That rarely ever happens. And if somebody's starting their life right over, I'm like, okay, are you a convicted felon? Did you escape from prison? Did you just murder somebody? Right. What's going on with you?
You and I think alike. Okay, so I am all for helping people out. But you can't go around believing everyone's sob story and taking them into your home. You need to do some investigating. You know, come on. These people, from what I can tell, are really as genuine and, you know, as giving as I'm telling you they are. Mm-hmm. But I mean, still, come home. Yeah. Right? They give him the boot and go about their lives because he had a meth problem. You know?
Okay, so at their house, they figured it out. Like, dude, you're...
Yeah, at their house, they figured out he was full of shit and using the meth. And, you know, they weren't cool with that. Mm-hmm. Okay. He, you know, gets to getting and they go about their lives and John goes about his life. He spent the next couple of years bouncing around. At one point, he worked at a refinery and another family took him in.
Stop.
From what... Yeah, he's very charming.
The charmer. It's that.
He is.
Reminds me of Dirty John, you know, such a charmer.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Ironic. It's the John name. Right?
Okay. His name's probably not even John.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
ding, 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 ding.
Pick a name.
Yeah. Okay. Ding, 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 ding.
Pick a name.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So from what I read about this other couple that, you know, took John in was that they were getting a divorce. And so it would be helpful for him to stay with the husband and contribute, but it ended up shaking out very similar to the Bentley's experience because John still had a thing for meth and sex workers. As well as working and paying rent was not the priority they felt it should have been. He managed to get himself a girlfriend, though, after that. A woman named Vicky, who describes him as being kind and gentle.
Okay.
She fell for him after their first date to Olive Garden and a movie, which, you know, does sound nice.
Breadsticks. Okay. And popcorn. That's all I
Unlimited.
Need.
And that salad is good.
It is good.
Okay.
The dressing. Yeah. It's the dressing.
It is.
And the crisp, like, iceberg. I don't know. Something about it.
They just do it right.
This episode is sponsored by Astapro. Thanks, Astapro, for providing Tab and I with samples. Shout out to all my allergy suffering friends out there. You know how they say it's that time of year for allergies? Well, for me, it sort of feels like it's always that time of year. I thought I had tried everything until I recently discovered Astapro. Astapro is the first of its kind nasal allergy spray. It is the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing. Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can Astapro and go today. That's A-S-T-E-P-R-O allergy.com. Astapro and go. It's Fastapro. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies. Clink, clink.
You have heard me talk about my language learning skills with Rosetta Stone, and I'm telling you, I'm getting really good at it. I learned a little bit of Japanese before we went to Japan last year, and I really love the French language, so I'm learning French at the moment. Bonjour, bonsoir. I'm even getting a little bit of the accent down. Not very good, but I'm getting there. And with Rosetta Stone, it makes it so easy. I download it on my phone. I learn it in the car. It is awesome. You can do it on your desktop, wherever you find it convenient. They are there for you. And They have 25 languages, you guys, that you can use. And right now they are giving a lifetime membership for 50% off. So you can learn as many languages as you want for your entire life, which is amazing. And the best part is it starts off, you know, with just words and then phrases and then sentences. And then you should be able to have a conversation with somebody that also knows the language, which is, you know, my entire goal. So don't put off learning that language. There is no better time than right now. Seriously, get started before your summer vacay. Our listeners get 50% off the lifetime membership. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem it today at rosettastone.com/today.
Listeners, today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Are you busy? Well, of course you are. And if you're like me, that means you put off investing because maybe it just doesn't seem urgent or it's intimidating. Enter Acorns. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing for your future. You don't need a lot of money or expertise to invest with Acorns. In fact, you can get started with just spare change. Acorns recommends an expert-built portfolio that fits you and your money goals, then automatically invests your money for you. What I love about Acorns is that it gives you the tool to give your money a chance to grow. You don't have to start with a lot. Just start. Believe me, it feels great. Head to acorns.com/clink or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Client testimonial may not be representative of all clients. Tier 1 compensation provided. Compensation provides an incentive to positively promote Acorns. View important disclosures at acorns.com/clink. Investing involves risk, including the loss of the principal. Please consider your objectives, risk tolerance, and Acorns fees before investing. Acorns Advisors, LLC, Acorns is an SEC registered investment advisor. Brokerage services are provided to clients of Acorns by Acorns Securities, LLC, member FINRA/SIPC. For more information, visit acorns.com.
Well, so, you know, aside from Olive Garden sounds nice, he wasn't all that nice. And we know that because Vicky called the police twice for domestic abuse, though she did not press charges either time. Vicky and John lived together in Via Rica, Georgia in 2003 in an apartment complex. Their neighbors weren't big fans. That would be on account of John being arrested for exposing himself to an 18-year-old girl who lived there with her mother.
Oh, God.
She said in the police report that she was, quote, scared of Mr. Chapman because he repeatedly came to her apartment, turning the doorknob, trying to get inside.
Oh, creeps.
He'd appear in the morning after her mother left for work. One day he'd be at the front door, the next day at the back.
Hell to the no.
She said some mornings he sat outside his apartment drinking beer and talking to himself.
Mornings, you know, like morning beer.
Yeah. Morning beer. Yeah. That's because he didn't go to sleep, I imagine. I also read they found a box outside the girl's bedroom window that contained rope, tape, and binoculars. Terrifying.
Yeah.
So I am not clear as to what Vicky's reaction was exactly when all that happened, but I know she didn't really tell her boyfriend John to kick rocks. I know that because he called her from Sweet Home Chinchilla, Alabama in 2004 and told her he had found work down there and would start looking for a place for Vicky to come join him.
Okay, so wait. In Georgia was before he got to Chinchilla to start his life over.
No, started off in Chinchilla, went to Georgia, circled back to Chinchilla.
Back to Chinchilla. Okay. I mean, you would pick, wouldn't you pick somewhere that's like a little bit bigger and a
Well, listen,
hide in the
he
masses?
Made his way back into the Bentley's heart. Stop. Yeah. He got back into their good graces. Mark Bentley gave him another chance and gave him a job and a place to stay again.
Oh my gosh.
That's just how they were. Everybody says they're just, you know, real
nice,
real generous people. They had a relative that was staying with them at the same time too, working for Mark. And he went by the name Scooter. In September 2004, Hurricane Ivan was fixing to roll through. And so Mark Bentley packed up his family and got a motel in Birmingham while they waited it out. He offered to get a room for Scooter and John, right? These two kind of, I hate to call Scooter a drifter because, but I mean, John, you could kind of classify as a drifter, but yeah, the two drifters, he's got staying with them, right? Okay.
Yeah.
But they elected to stay behind and look after the house. After Mark returned home a couple days later, after the hurricane had passed, he was met with his neighbor Lisa's grown children banging on the door, distraught, needing help because they had found their mother dead and had no cell service and they needed help.
Oh my God. Okay.
Mark and Scooter jumped in to help in any way they could, but John, not so much. He was like, y'all go check it out. I'm good. Just stayed on the couch.
Mm-hmm.
So they managed to get to police to the scene. And initially what police thought was that Lisa had died because there had been an accidental fire on account of the hurricane. You know, like maybe something happened with her Coleman. Lisa had sheltered with her family for 2 days in a motel, but then she had gone back to her mobile home. Her kids' new reception was terrible in Chinchula, and that's probably why they hadn't heard from her. But it had got to the point where they realized it had been too long with no contact and they needed to check on her. They found her charred remains in her bathroom. The coroner discovered that she had actually been shot first and then lit on fire. So now authorities had to inform her still in shock family that their mother's death
was a murder.
It was no accident. It was a homicide. Yeah. They told them, you know, 9 out of 10 times, this is someone the victim knows. Well, her family could not think of a single person that had any reason to hurt Lisa. Lisa Nichols was a 44-year-old Disco Biscuit grandma who had worked at the same grocery store for over 20 years. She had had various relationships with men that didn't work out, but she was still friendly with her exes. And at the moment, she was resigned and happy to be in her own place, living by herself in the country, in rural Chinchilla.
And 44-year-old grandma, that scares me because I'm like turning 44 this next year. I'm like,
well, yeah, I'm 45. Okay, so grandma. She popped him out young or whatever. But I mean, you know me, I wouldn't mind living rural.
No, I know you wouldn't. I also am like, my face is starting to look like a grandma. So there's that.
True. Uh-huh. And our necks.
I can't, you know,
we're fighting.
We're really fighting it.
Yeah.
Every step of the way.
Well, okay. So police went ahead still and looked into the men that Lisa had in her past, and they were all cleared. You know, alibis. They were good. No bad blood. But they were looking into them. They were kind of like stuck on that because back at the scene, there was evidence that Lisa had been conversing with someone she knew. They thought that because there were two different types of beer cans and her charcoal grill was set up with the lighter next to it, but it hadn't been lit. So it was looking like someone had interrupted her when she was about to fix herself something to eat. You know, the power was out still because of the hurricane. So it would make sense for her to be
using
grilling.
Charcoal. Yeah.
Yeah. Police question Lisa's closest neighbors, the Bentleys, again. And Mark, of course, tells him that he had been in Birmingham, taken shelter, and Scooter says he was there. And Scooter says something with John did happen one night that was kind of sus. He said that while the power was out, he was going through the house looking for like batteries and supplies, and he found John looking through the Bentley's bedroom closet. He had told him he was looking for a radio, but he noticed that John was packing a pistol. And he thought that pistol was Mark's. But I guess he didn't give him too hard of a time about it. but noted, right?
Right.
So after that questionable encounter, he said John had went somewhere and he wasn't sure where he went. Eventually, Scooter went looking through the closet and found Mark's pistol there, and so didn't think too much of it until this all came to light. And so they handed over Mark's pistol to police, and along with some of John's clothing that they had come across that was bloodstained.
Oh, yeah.
With this information, police were now real anxious to talk to John. But Mark told them, you know, he took off, but go ahead and wait because he'll be back eventually. Well, they waited all night and he did not show up. They ran his name, you know how they do, through their, you know,
system.
Yeah. While they're waiting, and they discovered he had an active warrant in Georgia. So John ends up getting word that they were looking for him, and he called the detectives up and said, I'm out of town, but I will be back in a couple hours and I'll talk to y'all about whatever you want.
Sure.
And of course, he didn't show up as promised.
And just give me some more time to run.
Yeah, right?
Listeners, remember when everyone was doing juice cleanses and was basically hangry all the time? Well, there's a better, more sustainable way to lose weight. Ro provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. The Ro Body Program pairs a weekly shot with healthy lifestyle changes so you can lose 15 to 20% of your weight in a year on average and actually keep it off. Ro's partners handle all the insurance paperwork to help get medication covered. If eligible for medication, patients have access to their provider on demand for any questions. You can sign up online from the comfort of your own home. This means no scheduling a doctor's appointment, no commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting rooms. Average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes, BMI, and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to ro.co/clink. Sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/clink.
With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Well, let me tell you, mylifeinabook.com is a very unique service. I did it for my mom and my grandmother, and it has been amazing. It basically turns your mom's life stories or your grandmother's or anybody that you think is special in your life into a book. So here's how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send a question via email to the special person, whoever you choose. You can ask custom questions too, but I just kind of let My Life in a Book choose what questions to ask. And then your special person, like your mom, can type their response or they can record their voice. And My Life in a Book compiles it all in a beautiful keepsake for you. And guess what? They can even create audiobooks. I mean, this is such a unique gift that will last a lifetime for you, your mom, your children, your children's children. It is the best gift you can give. Check out mylifeinabook.com and use our code CLINK at checkout for 10% off. This is an unforgettable gift for you and your mom. Get it today. Use our code CLINK, mylifeinabook.com.
Listeners, did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? And if that's not bad enough, most cleaning formulas are 90% water, which is heavy to ship, leading to excessive carbon emissions. Plus, those products are often filled with nasty ingredients like chlorine and ammonia. That's a lose-lose situation for you and the planet. Nobody's trying to have that. Enter Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. The idea is simple. They offer refillable cleaning products with a beautiful cohesive design that looks great on your counter. Fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. Genius! You'll never have to grab bulky cleaning supplies on your grocery run again. Refills start at just $2.25. Blue Land is trusted in over 1 million homes, including mine, y'all. When I received my first shipment of Blue Land, I was blown away by how this simple concept just makes so much sense. It's so easy. You just drop the tablet into the stylish functional bottles and get your clean on. I love the subscription option because I am not trying to get one more bulky item in my cart. Blue Land products really get the job done and leave my home smelling so fresh and clean. Blue Land has a special offer for our listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/clink. You won't want to miss this, guys. blueland.com/clink for 15% off.
Not only had he broken his promise about meeting them, he fibbed about being out of town, Tab.
Well, he was
there.
He was at the local bar.
Better. There was a call about a man in town chasing someone with a gun, and the person getting chased turned out to be John. What happened was John was visiting a meth procurer. When the procurer spied John grabbing a handful of meth, and that led to him chasing John down the street with a gun and John leaving his car behind in the man's driveway. When they ran the plates to investigate, you know, like the junkie thief on the loose, they found it was damn John. They were like, we've been waiting for him. Right? Okay. So John, now without a vehicle and high as a kite, he decided that it would be a good idea to call detectives up again so he could explain himself and get them off his back. Mm-hmm. Well, they were happy to converse with him over the phone. They conversed with him long enough to trace the call and find him sitting in the passenger seat of a man's truck.
Not his own. Like he just like hopped in.
If you've ever been around someone on meth, you know, they're very fucking chatty.
They right. Really,
you know, that was working for them in this case. Yeah. Okay. So this man said he did not know John, but John had showed up at his home and asked for a ride to the bus station. And he agreed to do so because he just wanted to get rid of him, which I mean, it's scary as fuck to get in a, you know, a vehicle with someone that high, but I can understand it. Like, I just want you to go away. Yeah. Sure, I'll put you on a bus, right? Okay. So police were able to keep questioning him at the station because he had an active warrant. They want to know about what happened to Lisa. And John was all over the place for a while, but then he settled on the story that what had happened with Lisa was that she had wanted to do crystal meth with him, so he went and got it for her, and then she OD'd and died, and so he got worried that he would get blamed for that, so he went and got a gun and shot her, and then he thought that probably wasn't a great idea, so he should cover his tracks more by starting a fire with some gasoline. So, you know, there's a lot there. For one, that doesn't really jive because Lisa didn't use drugs. She, you know, she just didn't.
Yeah.
Right?
They're like, there are no drugs in her system. So, start over.
Well, but what they did know was that she had been shot before the fire. And they wanted a confession from him because obviously his OD story is BS. So they are keeping him talking, and he asks at one point if he can call his girlfriend, Vicky. Well, Vicky did not pick up, but the interview ends, okay? And the detective ends up trying Vicky's number. Mm-hmm. Well, she didn't pick up until the next day. But when they did reach her, they tell her they have John in custody, and she responds, you know, great. What did he do now? And they said,
and she's in Georgia, right?
It's bad. Yeah, and she's in Georgia.
Okay.
And they said, well, you know, it's bad, Vicky. It's murder. That's what we're questioning him for. And Vicky, she didn't skip a beat and said something to the effect of, shit, I knew he did it. And they're like, what are you talking about? She says, there was a 16-year-old girl up here in Georgia who was killed 6 months ago. And I always suspected he had something to do with it. She said the day before the body was found, John had come home looking worse for wear, had some scratches on him, and then he put his clothes in the wash and got in the shower, which was not his normal jam. Doesn't sound like John was very hygienic.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, side note, Vicky, if you suspected him of murder, honey, why were you still planning on moving out of state to be with him? That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
With him down in Alabama, seems like it would occur to you that maybe you had dodged a bullet.
Totally.
Like, literally.
Do you think she really was, or she was just telling him that to like appease him? You know, I hope it's the latter, right?
To be honest, I've read a lot about this woman. I mean, well, not too much, but I can't make sense of it.
Okay.
What she was thinking. Yeah. With this new information, the detectives decide to put this 16-year-old girl case on the back burner, you know, mm-hmm. so to speak, so they could focus first on getting a real confession about Lisa. It wasn't that hard once they decided to use a little trickery. They told him a fib about his, which is only fair. He'd fib to them, right?
Mm-hmm. They about are allowed to lie.
About his fingerprints. They are allowed to lie.
Yeah, they are allowed to lie.
They told him his fingerprints were left on a beer can at Lisa's house, which they were hoping they were, right? But mm-hmm.
They just didn't know
come
at
back
the time.
Conclusive.
Oh.
No, they weren't good enough prints to get like a real print.
What about the DNA on the beer like sipper part?
I don't know if this was 2004. So yeah, I mean, they could have done that, but DNA testing takes a while. Fingerprints is pretty quick. You know, they told him that and John believed them. And then what he ended up telling them was that he had really gone over to Lisa's to rape her and had got in by begging her to let him call Vicky. That's when he made the call that she should pack her bags and move on down to Chinchilla to be with him, was from Lisa's house.
Yuck.
He said Lisa was actually really nice. When he went to rape her, though, she fought like a wildcat, so he had to shoot the bitch. He is a monster. His cavalier attitude, plus what they now know about another possible young victim in Georgia, got mm-hmm. detectives thinking this might not have been John's first rodeo.
John so might be a serial killer, actually.
Yeah. Because it was so disturbing the way he just switched and laughed about it.
Mm-hmm.
No remorse. Gross. Totally. So they put out an alert all over asking anyone if they have any unsolved rape and murders that could possibly be linked to John.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they got a call from a sheriff in Missouri, and he told them that you guys got it twisted. Because he had John Paul Chapman with the same social security number that they reported in custody in one of their fine prisons. So it couldn't have been John Chapman that committed the crimes in question. That threw them for, you know, a real fruit loop.
Real, yeah.
Who the heck do they have in custody if John Chapman is in prison in Missouri? They have no idea. So they call up Vicky again, and she tells them that she's only known John as John. She knows that his mama's name is Jean Beard, and she lives in Miami, Oklahoma. Did you know there is a Miami in Oklahoma?
No, I do now. I imagine it's not the destination to go to, because I think I would have heard of that if it was.
It's a small town, population around 13,000, kind of northeast of Tulsa.
Okay.
Okay.
I think it's kind of fun. You could say you live in Miami.
You could. Yeah. I mean, I don't foresee it being on any of your destinations. You stick to those big touristy spots. Tabs all over Broken Bow, Tulsa. Yeah. I don't think you've been to Oklahoma City yet, though.
I've only been to Broken Bow. Oh, and I went to Windstar Casino.
Oh, okay.
My next place I'm going in January is to Choctaw. Supposedly it's...
I hear that's really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't been to Tulsa, but I hear it's really fun. But I've been to Oklahoma City and it's great. Okay. Town. It's fun.
Yeah. Okay.
Miami though, it's small, right? 13,000. So the police just call up the police station over there and say, do you happen to know a resident named Jean Beard? And they tell them, oh yeah, please tell us you have her son, Jeremy Jones, in custody. We've got a stack of outstanding warrants for him for rape going back to 1996. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they sent over a picture and it became clear Jeremy Jones was really who they had. So isn't that crazy that right away you said it was a fake name?
I know.
I mean, your crime skills are just el fuego.
I mean,
five years down the road or
sometimes.
Whatever. Ding, ding, ding. And the ESPN or something. Okay. So turns out when Jeremy had hit the road because he wasn't, keen on going to prison for rape, he had stopped at a bar in Missouri and confessed to the bartender that he was making his way to anywhere because he was a little bit wanted in Oklahoma. And since she happened to have a son who was recently incarcerated, and she knew he would be for a while, she offered to sell Jeremy his identification and social security card for $50.
No, $50. Wow.
I mean, I don't even know what to say about that, right?
Yeah.
But that is how Jeremy Jones got away with being John Chapman for years. But what is really the saddest is that he had been picked up and charged as John Chapman, which meant that his fingerprints were submitted to the FBI multiple times. But upon receiving them, they never ran them through the system to cross-check them like they're supposed to. And so they had a file for Jeremy Jones and John Chapman
with the same prints. Yeah.
If they wouldn't have dropped the ball there, then he would not have been able to have been released and gone on to kill Lisa and more possible victims. The FBI did they sent Lisa's family a letter saying that they were real sorry about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least they have him.
But I mean, as you can imagine, when her family learned that, they're beyond infuriated because of a paperwork mix-up. Yeah, he was free to, hurt anyone. When the detectives called him by the name Jeremy Jones, they said he lost color in his face and told them, oh man, I haven't heard that name in years. And he went on to confess a multi-state trail of multiple sex crimes and murders. The thing about his confessions is some of them make sense and the details are verifiable and some of them not so much.
Well, he is a meth head, so I'm sure his details are...
It's confusing, a little shook up in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was actually questioned about the murder of Patrice Andres, whose case is heartbreaking and was featured on Netflix Unsolved Mysteries reboot. Mm-hmm. If you watch the episode, they kind of pin it on her boyfriend. But obviously, you know, it's unsolved.
Yeah, they think it's him.
Yeah.
And no DNA.
So Jeremy, they talk about Jeremy Jones, but Jeremy did not send them to the right place to find her remains.
I think he's like messed up, you know, like maybe he doesn't even remember. Listen, I can't even remember yesterday and I don't even do meth.
So true. Seriously.
Yeah.
I had to eat some humble pie yesterday because my husband was like, we're kind of childish about this stuff. Like we say like all the time, our arguments are, you never listened to me. I told you that, you know?
Yeah. Same.
And he did that to me. He's like, you never listened to me. I told you that. And then he's like, you'll remember because I said A, B, and C. And I went, oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
You did tell me that. Sorry.
Yeah.
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 Walk it back. Yeah. So Jeremy, he confessed to abducting and killing Patrice, but her remains were not found, like I said, where he said they were. And they were eventually found in a completely different area.
But kind of like in the same city?
I think in the same county. Mm. But he still has not been eliminated as a suspect in that case because there were details that they still believe he knew that only the killer would have known.
I think it was him.
Yeah, I think it was him too. He recanted his confession about Lisa's murder, despite the overwhelming amount of evidence against him. They had her DNA on his clothing. Remember, they took the blood.
The blood. Yeah.
Yeah. And the gun ballistics were a match. You know,
it was
the pistol
him.
They recovered from the closet. Yeah.
He just wants to throw people for wild goose chases. Maybe I don't know.
Oh, yeah. No, that's his jam. Yeah. He was trying to say that he confessed to police, you know, in duress. And so now he's pleading, you know, not guilty. Well, while awaiting Lisa's trial, he actually called up Mark Bentley. Like the balls, right? You know, and so he's calling him from prison. So it's on the recorded line. Yeah. So it's so sad. He says like, hey, Mark, it's me.
Does he say John or does he say Jeremy?
No, he says it's Oklahoma, actually, is what he calls himself.
Okay.
But I mean, I'm sure, you know, for Mark to get that call, he had to, you know, they say a prisoner from blah, 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 uh-huh. Correctional Institute wants to talk to you. Yeah. Okay. So Mark says, I don't want anything to do with you. You killed my neighbor and let me go in and see it and I'll never get over it. You hurt me. I trusted you. Jeremy told him he was just so high and out of control. He doesn't really say he's sorry, but he says, you know, I was out of control and, you know, once it started, I couldn't stop. So, I mean, that conversation was definitely not under duress.
Mm-hmm.
So that call was played for the jury that found him guilty.
But
yeah. So he was sentenced to death in 2005 and has still not been given an execution date. He has admitted to killing a dozen other men, women, and children in Kansas, Oklahoma, Georgia, and Louisiana. But he's also recanted confessions, gone back and forth. I mean, there is some debate about what they can make stick with him because he's all over the place. He is so all over the place. And there are nuggets of things that make sense, but they think that he just kind of is milking it along because it means he gets preferential treatment the longer he can string it all out.
Mm, okay. That's why they do that. Those. I always wonder.
That's why they do that.
Yeah. I was like, why do they do that after they're already like on death row? Like,
It's like these real keys, you know, yeah. They're like, give me a Snickers bars. I'll tell you something.
Totally.
Yeah. So what investigators think the truth is that he first started in 1992 by stabbing a girl named Jennifer Judd in Baxter Springs. And 3 months later, he shot Danny and Kathy Freeman in Welsh, Oklahoma, and also shot Ashley Freeman and Lori Bible and dumped their bodies in Kansas. Then he moved to Georgia and he stabbed Tina Mayberry to death in 2002, followed by Catherine Collins in New Orleans, who was strangled and stabbed in 2004. A few months later, he also strangled and stabbed Amanda Greenwell in Georgia. The next month, he murdered Patrice Endress in Georgia. Then a few months later, he shot and set fire to Lisa Nichols in Alabama.
Wow.
And I think there's a lot they don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think he's been charged with anyone but Lisa's death, though, which I am sure is upsetting for the families of the other victims.
Yeah.
Yeah. He is not getting out, and he has a bad case of hepatitis C, and supposedly his liver might be the end of him before he gets an execution date.
So be it.
I did really like what Lisa's daughter said in an interview, that her mother died a hero because she's the one that stopped him. He wasn't going to be stopped from continuing to rape and kill. It was because of her fight he got caught. And so I just thought that's just a really admirable of her family to find a way to like give her that honor, because it's true.
Yeah, that's awesome. I definitely, I mean, as much as you can, you know, be so upset and I mean, it could be the death of you to have something like that happen to your mother. But that's a really good way to think of it. And it is very true. Yeah. Rest in peace, Lisa. And oh my gosh, all the others. Yeah. And what, the closure thing to know, and I'm sure some are probably still missing, you know, just a side note, I am going to do a missing person come the new year. So just prepare yourself, because I know it's not a normal for us to do, but all those people that have missing people out there, it's like, it's so sad for them, right? And no closure for not knowing who's taken them or murdered them or whatever. It's just heartbreaking.
It is.
Jingle bells. I mean, geez. So in their honor, we can all be very happy that we're all kicking and getting to celebrate our family and loving them and buying them extra Christmas presents. And I actually bought you an extra Christmas present that I have not sent yet. I saw it the other day and it's real special. And so I'm going to send it. Actually, probably should try to send it from California.
This is kind of unlike you. Usually we don't really like exchange gifts unless it's like something funny. Then it's like, oh,
I know, it's true.
We just want to buy it, right?
Yes.
But now you're like buying me stuff and I feel bad because I haven't bought you shit.
Well, it's okay. It's just, it was one of those things. Well, in truth to be told, I did this love language thing recently because my husband is all on the kick with that with his friend, because his friend recently broke up with his girlfriend and he's very distraught and it's been a very emotional for him. And so I was like, well, what's my love language, you know? Because I said for him to bring gifts to this woman. And he was like, no, that's not her love language. She doesn't want gifts. So I was like, you know, it's not my love language either. Like I like gifts, but I don't, like for Christmas, I told everybody, I'm like, please don't bring me gifts. Like I don't need extra stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I don't need extra stuff either. I would like it to be like something.
You like thoughtful gifts. Yes. You like thoughtful gifts. I also like thoughtful gifts too. But some people just like getting gifts regardless of what it is. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. Okay. So I think that's like, how my husband is.
Okay. So
because
my husband,
first of all, usually doesn't get me shit, but this year he has, and I know it's something good, but he came home and told me, I know you just signed for something. Don't open it. I said, okay. So I'm like, oh, he's going out of his way. He's buying me something. Could have had it sent somewhere else, but that's okay. We'll leave it in the garage. Motherfucker leaves it in the garage for like a goddamn week. And I can't even stand it. It's just sitting there. So I'm like,
did you finally tell him?
I did. I told him last night. I'm like, hey, you know, it's very nice that I am on your shopping list this year, but maybe you could like wrap it or put it somewhere or something. But I kind of think that fucker is just like, he just wants to leave it out like, yeah, I got you something. I'm awesome.
Well, there are people that also give gifts because that is their like love language of like giving, right? Like my mother-in-law, she loves to give gifts and she'll put one tiny thing in a package with like all kinds of wrapping. And I am the type of person that will try to shove as much shit as I can in one bag, right? And she is like, here's 20 bags. And then it loves the act of gift giving. And so it's just an interesting thing how people's like what makes them happy, giving and receiving ends could be different. But anyways,
I just would like to see the follow through, like from start to finish.
You will. It's not Christmas, Gretchen. I told her, I was like, it is not Christmas yet. Like chill out. If he puts it on his like, whatever, that's his jam. All of my stuff is in my office. It's not wrapped. It's waiting there.
Well, you know why she's so defensive? Because she's fucking just like him. She just leaves it out. And it's like,
I am just like Jeremiah. Yeah.
And so, for me and Sean, oh my God, we buy these thoughtful presents. And then we just want someone to just for once surprise us. And the fucking, they can't do it.
It's so true. Listen, I bought gifts.
I am grateful, though. It is progress. Mm-hmm. It is
probably that
very good progress. Yeah,
I'm not
going to
tell you, but
that would be awesome.
Well, I don't know actually why he got you, but
you know, I already know. You know,
well, he asked me about what. You know, I had to ask you again.
Listen, I know you know, because as soon as I bring it, I'm like, motherfucker left it in the garage. You start laughing. I'm like, oh God. Yeah. Yeah. Like I can tell. I can read you both. Mm-hmm. I know when you're full of shit.
All right.
But I'm not investigating.
Don't investigate.
Which is against my nature.
Oh my God.
Because I don't want to blow
herself.
It. I don't want another ice maker debacle, you know.
She's probably still hasn't got that one fixed in her garage, the big giant industrial one you got.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, I knew it. That is just like probably never gonna happen. All right. Anyways, let's go get our kids from carpool, because that's exactly what we're doing right now. And
true.
Hopefully you all this episode's next week. Okay. So we are going to play you for sure one of our favorite episodes next week from our favorite podcast, one of our favorite podcasts called Military and Murder. And we'll still be here with the intro, but we're going to do a little swap with her. And I think you guys are going to really like it. So it's a Christmas treat on us. And then hopefully you all have a really good break with your kids if you have them. And then if you get off for Christmas, hallelujah. If you don't, because you're in the service industry, we've been there. We have worked all of that before.
Many a holiday. Yeah.
Many a holidays. And so, we are right there with you, just thinking about you and hoping that you have a good Christmas, even if you're serving other people, and hopefully get some good tips or at least happy smiles, all that. But we thank you for all of your service, and I think that's all for today. Merry, merry. Clink, clink.
Clink, clink.